always want to talk the first day about posture, about this physical being that we are. Because we're excuse me. Because we're human beings, we have accomplished the ability to think in words. And that has given us a tremendous advantage over just about everything else in many, many ways. There's a part of the brain that has developed in the front that can name things and identify not only things, but feelings and impressions and colors. And we delight in that. It's thrilling for us. And it's our genius, in a way, to be able to identify with our speech. Other beings can identify in other ways, but it's very, very limited. But under this is a whole nother part of the human mind that experiences first before the words kick in. And that we usually overcome in a way with our words. In order to delight in the world in some ways, but in other words, ways in order to distract ourselves from being a physical body. Being a body is a physical, painful place to be. We have to keep moving because every time we get a twinge, we can shift and change and make ourselves more comfortable. But in the process, we are again overcoming our actual experience of things just as they happen, creating a kind of smoothing out of it. And the first thing that we often notice in Zazen is that we're not doing that anymore. That we're asking ourself to be a body that doesn't move even though it's hurting, even though it wants to move. We don't do it. So it's a very curious kind of situation that we're giving to ourselves just to begin. And it's what we sustain all the way through as we become familiar with more things that are happening for us than we usually notice. So our devotion to words. In Zazen, we begin to experience the flow of them, the flow of our identifying what happened, what's going to happen, and all our theories and thoughts about what happened. And in the beginning, it's kind of amazing and much, and it can be exhausting, especially exhausting if we set ourselves up against it and try to control it and make it something else. we come to Sesshin with some plan, at least the plan to stay and survive. And sometimes it feels like that's all that we're doing is just surviving. And in a way, it's so that we're beginning to experience, because we're putting ourselves in this situation, we're beginning to experience how we are being lived. We say, my life, and I'm living my life. But my life is living me at the same time. There's really no distinction. We can't really say one way or the other. Something is happening. Something is going on. All the time, really. But here we get to notice it. Here we get to breathe with it. We get to begin to allow ourselves to be what's happening without imposing something extra on it, without, as they say, putting a head on top of our head. One head is already kind of too much. Two of them is way, way too much. These first days, there's a lot of thinking going on and a lot of adjusting of the body and discomfort. Things hurt. I hurt. I always hurt. And yet, pain is really our nature. It's the actuality of our life and experience. From our very beginning, it must be very painful to get born, to pass through that narrow canal. It's extremely traumatic. And the baby cries, usually, when it can breathe. So in a way, we have an opportunity on Sesshin to begin to really appreciate this body we are, to appreciate the pain it has to endure, and the life it meets with its life, the life that it is with everyone. We begin to feel, as we sit this way, how we're not so separate. Even though we're completely separate and alone, we begin to feel how we resonate with other people's feeling, with other people's lives. Oh, he feels like that. I feel it too. Sometimes in Sesshin, someone will cough and you'll feel it in your own chest. That's how intimate human life is. Everyone is, all of us, with each other. And we get to experience it like this. So posture is extremely helpful, just because it keeps us in balance. It keeps our mind in balance as our body is balanced. It keeps us aligned. I think there are forces, life forces, that are passing this way and this way all through our body. and the more we're in line with all the forces of, you could say, universal forces, the more easily we breathe, the more we're able to be quiet, to find our balance. But we don't want to be too stiff. We don't want to be too correct. Each one of us has to find her own particular way at each particular time, and it will change. First few days, it's always seeking, oh, is this the right way? Oh, yes, this, oh, return over and over. And after a while, it just becomes second nature. We become more comfortable. So we're developing a tremendous amount of patience as we do this, which is one of the bodhisattva attitudes that is most important. Patient with ourself, patient with the world. And of course, the world keeps interfering with us. The world keeps being noisy and keeps butting in. One time somebody complained to me bitterly that blue jays were making too much noise and interrupting her zazen. So, this is an opportunity to realize that everything that is interrupting us is us. And we are they. When Coben talked about posture, he always ended by talking about smile. It always encouraged us to smile while we sit. And really smile during the day. You see, as you walk around the world and up and down the sidewalk, smiling people make such a difference to the whole atmosphere and hits you in a place that is so precious. We have tremendous resistance to what's positive. There is, I remember when I first started sitting, and I so much wanted to be doing this, and I so much didn't want to be doing this at the same time. I felt like a child putting my heels in the ground saying, "You can't make me." At the same time, I had to do it. I think this is part of our nature and something to become very familiar with. We talk in Zen about doubt. Buddha always said, check your doubts. Don't throw them away. Don't accept anything that anybody says just because they say it, including me, he said. Check it out. So you may have your heels dug in, and maybe you feel like you're being dragged somewhere you don't want to go. Notice it and come to terms with it. Realize it. We're very complicated beings, and we complicate ourselves on top of our complication. It's one way we amuse ourselves, I think, is to add to the complication by stirring it up some more. So we can notice that. We can notice how we navigate the world and create our story. Many stories. I've just developed asthma, so as you can hear in my voice, it's kind of gets messed up sometimes. It's not serious, it's just stupid and inconvenient. But I apologize because it's so inconvenient. But it's a very interesting time in my own life of all the many birds that come to roost at the end. You realize at the end that you're tasting what came before. You're discovering what came before in a new way. So it's a time of deep appreciation for the body. Tremendous amount of gratitude to be like this. And awe. Good heavens, what is it really? What the heck is it? Do we know? So I like the last few sessions, I won't be sitting every single sit the way I always ever used to do. I can't do that anymore. But I don't want you to be inspired by my being out of the zendo to be out too much yourself, unless you really need to be. I think the more dedicated you can be to taking advantage of this incredible opportunity, not to get enlightened, but to embody and express your enlightenment, and to deepen your appreciation for your life. Its mystery, its beauty, and all that is good in it. This is a time to make that discovery all over again. So that's what I brought to say. There's time for questions, discussion. Brie?
Now that thing you said was so resonant and beautiful when you said to sit not to get enlightened, but to embody and express your enlightenment. Can you elaborate on that?
No. you for your question.
At what point is pain beyond something that it needs to be noticed and appreciated and becomes something you should actually consider readjusting or doing something about?
It's a real good question. It's probably the best question of all. Because you can hurt yourself. And I know people who have done that in the old days. Everybody was terribly ambitious, ambitious to get enlightened, actually. And they would sit like crazy and crack their knees and their hips, and it was not a good scene at all. So usually you can tell yourself. And if you are wondering and not sure, ask somebody who has experience and check it out. And always, if you are hurting, you can move. You can always adjust your posture. Try not to annoy the people next to you. Try to make it as little as necessary, because you're annoying yourself at the same time. It often helps to shift from sitting on the cushion to sitting on a bench, or turning the cushion on its end and then sitting on your knees on that, and then going back to sitting on the cushion flat, so that your body gets adjusted to the whole situation. But it's very, very important to be careful. Yeah.
I don't know if this is relevant, but I'm going to say it anyway, because you said that we should smile more. And the thing that you said during your talk that made me just smile was when you mentioned the woman who was annoyed by the jays, because it made me think about bringing her over to Canandaigua, where Canando used to be. And for those who don't know, Canando is a Zen meditation place in Mountain View. We used to be related. But anyway, where they used to be, there were people outside revving the motorcycles.
Playing salsa music.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we'll be even. After a couple of days there, she might have.
But even so,
well, what was that?
You just sit anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and become part of the motorcycles. They become part of you. It's otherwise we would just have to go and sit on top of a mountain somewhere. And even then, there is no faraway place that we could go that is out of touch with everything else.
There's wind.
Hmm?
There's wind? The wind is really noisy.
The rain is, too. Terrible. And this creek. Oh, really? I have to outlaw the whole thing.
I saw the noise that the cars make. It was really noisy.
Yeah.
Beautiful, but noisy.
Well, the trick in Soshin is not to make any noise ourselves as much as possible. So I did want to mention that in the dormitories, even though it looks like there are walls, the walls are about this thick, and everything is like this one room. So if you talk in one room, you're heard in all the other rooms. So if we're making a vow of silence, the Zendo silence goes everywhere, including the dorms.
I was thinking about the resistance for myself seems to be how I treat myself and my attitude. You know, in other words, if I, like you're saying, there's a desire to meditate, but if my attitude is like I need to fix myself, there's something wrong with me, or I have to do this, that creates that push. And for me, it's always trying to, you know, work with what, you know, to sort of notice that and somehow still meditate at the same time. I mean, I think in a sesshin it's a lot easier because there's a structure. But I think at home it's trying to work with that. You know, like almost like the whole point of meditation is to fix myself, and that gets a big push back. Like,
yeah.
Forget that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That is not the point. It does help to create some sort of structure at home too, so that it feels normal and natural to go to sit when it's time to sit, as if somebody had played the han. You don't have to do a han for yourself, but if you have a regular time, it helps a lot. There are all kinds of things that our mind goes through, and that's one of them, just this feeling that there's something all wrong with me and I'm going to get it fixed here on the cushion. There are other things. Some people are afraid of themselves and afraid of their bodies and afraid to even touch their bodies. And so there's, you know, a lot of resistance coming through that. Just trying to live up here only and sort of transcend the physical. And if you're sitting long, you can't do that anymore. So that becomes a struggle. It can become a big struggle in the cushion. That's very, very helpful, because that was Buddha's experience. He tried to transcend his whole physical being and underwent terrible tortures in order to do that, and ended up realizing it was not wise, that he was just killing himself for no reason. So this is all a study, a kind of quiet, patient, kind study of this that we call myself, which is a combination of all the people who ever went into our ancestry up to now, all the people who ever, all the things and people and events that have ever occurred up to now that have created our own situation. That's what we call me. It's awesome.